really lovely things about it is getting to go around all the different churches. Jonathan and I, we go out on little adventures, don't we? So it's lovely to be with you, and it's great to be with the other River families and see the life that there is there. We had Ian preaching in Maidenhead last week. He was fantastic. So if you want to listen to his talk, if you want to know all about crossing a rope bridge butt naked, you need to listen to that talk. What can I say? It was great. It was really good on faith. So I really encourage you to listen to that. I've never done this before, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've got a little story to tell you. Okay, it's a funny story. Well, it's meant to be funny. Might not be. Okay, but in honour of Mother's Day, and it also ties into some of the scriptures we're going to be looking at later. So a man goes on holiday to the Holy Land, and he takes with him his wife and his mother-in-law. And while they're there, very sadly, his mother-in-law dies. And they get the undertaker involved, and the undertaker says, well, you have two options. You can obviously repatriate your mother-in-law's body back to your home. That'll cost you about $5,000. Or you can bury her here in the Holy Land, and that'll only cost you $150. So the man thinks a bit and then says, I'll take the $5,000 option, please. And the undertaker says, fine, we'll make the arrangements. But just out of interest, why did you go for the most expensive option? You know, the Holy Land, what a great place to be buried, and it only cost you 150 quid. And the man said, I've heard that story about the man who lived here in the Holy Land 2,000 years ago. He died here and was buried, and he was raised to life on the third day. I cannot take that risk. So I heard that, courtesy of another preacher, and I thought, I quite like that story. That's quite fitting. Apologies if you're a mother-in-law. I bet you're a lovely mother-in-law. But there you go. Okay, so this morning, gentlemen, may I have the first slide? We are on Mary Magdalene. So if you've been following along with the River reading plan, you'll know that we've reached Mary Magdalene. And I have to be honest, she hasn't been the favourite woman this week. I have wrestled with this talk and wrestled with this talk. But by the end of it, we were quite good friends. And I really do think God's given me something for you in Slough here this morning. But I wonder how you responded to the week's readings, if you did them. I wonder if, like me, you thought, where's the alabaster jar gone? Where's the perfume? Where's the Mary that anointed the feet and the head of Jesus and wept and washed, you know, wiped her, his feet with her hair? Where was that great moving story? And when I said I'd preach on Mary Magdalene, I was like, oh, I can get such a good message out of that. And she wasn't in any of the readings. And I was like, whoa. So where am I going? Am I going forwards? Yeah, I thought I was probably illuminated. Let me grab this. Got the next slide. So if you remember that this is what our thank you people of God. Sorry, I've got them both being worried. You're trying to do two things at once, aren't you? I'm really sorry. If you remember what it's on the front of here, here's the thing for Mary. That was Mary, Mother of Jesus. That's Peter the Rock we're coming on to. And there's Mary. Now, this design went through about six people, and none of us picked up anything until last week in Maidenhead. Andy Reid leaned over to me and went, you do realise that's the wrong design for Mary, don't you? And it was at that point my heart began to think, oh, hey, what's going on here? Next slide, please. And this is something that's been a confusion for centuries. This statue is a really famous statue in the Basilica in France, and it's meant to be Mary Magdalene. There she is with her alabaster jar. Well, she's been a source of confusion in the church for centuries. The Gospels are actually full of Marys. That is another thing I discovered. There's a lot of Marys. There's Mary Magdalene. There's Mary of Bethany. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, her sister. And the wife of Cleophas, whoever you say that. Mary, the mother of James. There's a few of them. There's no wonder we're confused. And actually what's happened is there's been a melding of stories into one mishmash that actually isn't true. and which detracts from who Mary Magdalene actually was. And you know, in fact, and we're going to look at this, there is no scriptural basis for equating Mary Magdalene with the sinful woman, the prostitute, who ran in, cried all over Jesus, anointed his feet and wiped them with her hair. The stories that have all been confused are in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John in the Bible. In Matthew and Mark, there's an unnamed woman in Bethany who puts perfume on Jesus' head shortly before his crucifixion and which Jesus sees as an anointing for his burial. That's the first story. There's another story in the book of John where there's Mary of Bethany, who was Lazarus' sister, who put perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. Mary of Bethany, not Mary Magdalene. She was called that because she was from Magdala. Different person. And in Luke, there was an unnamed woman who was the woman who we think of as the sinner. It says in the scripture, if you knew what she'd done, you wouldn't go near her. She was crying. She rushed in emotion, cried all over Jesus' feet, wiped them with her hair, anointed them with perfume. She was the one forgiven of her many sins. And church history has just mushed all those stories together, named that woman as Mary Magdalene, and she's become known as the prostitute, the sinner, the woman who was forgiven by Jesus of her immorality. But that's not actually who Mary Magdalene was. What we are actually told about Mary Magdalene, and we'll go through these verses, she was healed of 7 demons. She's the woman who had 7 demons, and she was healed by Jesus. She was a faithful follower of Jesus alongside the 12 disciples, and she was part of the group of women who helped to fund Jesus' ministry. She was present at the crucifixion. All 4 Gospels tell us that. She was present at the tomb and the burial of Jesus. She was one of the women who brought spices to the tomb after the Sabbath to anoint Jesus' body, to prepare him. She was the first person Jesus spoke to after he rose from the dead. She was the first and the foremost witness to the resurrection of Jesus. All 4 Gospels agree that. And she was the very first messenger with the good news that Jesus had risen from the dead. She was called by Jesus, commissioned by Jesus to go and tell the hiding disciples who were in fear, he is risen. He's risen from the dead. And from that, she gets the title Apostle to the Apostles. Because apostle means somebody who, the original apostles who has seen Jesus risen from the dead and tells others. And she was that first apostle, sent one, it means, to the other apostles. We're going to read the scriptures about her. This morning, I haven't got a beautiful 3-point plan talk for you. Sorry about that, failed. What I've got is a wander through these beautiful verses, and I'm going to draw some points out of the verses as we go through. But what I hope you'll see as we go through is a healed, transformed, devoted, faithful, obedient, and honoured follower of Jesus. Not a sinful wreck. And for me, the common thread that goes through all these scriptures and through her life, and the thing that I would love us to learn from this morning, is this. Boys, can I have the next slide? Devotion. Devotion is the word that runs through it. And I looked up the word devotion in the dictionary, and it came up with these 4 things. Devotion is about love. It's about loyalty. It's about care. And it's about enthusiasm for a person or a thing. So just bear those 4 things in mind. But this thread of devotion runs through Mary Magdalene's story. And I'm just literally going to go through some scriptures. Can I just pray just before we do? Because I've just been so blessed in the end by Mary Magdalene. And my heart has so been drawn to Jesus as I've studied her. So I'd just like to pray that as we read these scriptures, we go through these scriptures, that Holy Spirit draws your heart to Jesus too. So Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the privilege that we have of having it freely, being able to read it, study it, be transformed by it. And this morning, Lord, as we go through your word together, I pray, Holy Spirit, you will melt our hearts for Jesus. I pray that you will draw us to him afresh. That, Lord God, Holy Spirit, you will draw us to be people of devotion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Right, next slide, please. Mary Magdalene was freed from the demonic. Here's the scripture from Luke 8. Soon afterward, Jesus began a ministry tour throughout the country, visiting cities and villages to announce the wonderful news of God's kingdom realm. His 12 disciples, male disciples, traveled with him, and also a number of women who had been healed of many illnesses under his ministry and set free from demonic power. Jesus had cast out 7 demons from one woman. Her name was Mary Magdalene. Many women who supported Jesus' ministry from their own personal finances also traveled with him. As I just mentioned, Mary Magdalene was a critical key witness and character in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, as we're going to see. And yet, she'd been possessed by 7 demons. In the Bible, 7 is symbolic of completeness. And so the suggestion is she was completely taken over by demonic activity. And yet she's the one who Jesus chose to be the witness to his resurrection, because he healed her and he transformed her. And we can all relate to Mary Magdalene. We're all broken. In one way or another, we've all been broken by life, by our own character weaknesses, our own failings. We're all broken people. But Jesus meets every one of us, and he will transform us into devoted followers of his, if that's what we're willing for. And what I love is that Mary Magdalene didn't allow her past to stop her from following Jesus and from becoming such an important part of God's story. She could have been inadequate her entire life. I couldn't possibly. I'm not good enough. But she didn't. She allowed Jesus to transform her. And she didn't let her past stop her from being part of this amazing story. So my first point really from this would be, healing and transformation is available for every single one of us. And we are called into God's story, irrespective of our pasts. Next slide, please. We often think of the stories of Jesus being just Jesus and his 12 disciples, don't we? But we've just seen in that scripture there were women part of the crew. There's a few there in the crowd. Women were part of his crew. And I heard a preacher say this: 12 men couldn't travel around for 3 years and manage to take care of themselves. They needed the women. Apologies, gentlemen. To travel with a rabbi was considered a really high honour, but it wasn't permitted in Jesus' time for women to be mentored by rabbis. That was just not allowed. But Jesus allowed women to travel with him, and he elevated women to a place of honour and respect, despite what the culture said. And if you have felt, as a woman, that you have not been honoured and respected by the church, by culture, by society, hear this truth today from Jesus. You are just as honoured and respected as the men in this room. And what do we see from these scriptures of devotion? We see Mary Magdalene's devotion to Jesus, don't we? We see her following him. We see her supporting him in giving her time, her money, her care. This was her response to the healing and transformation that Jesus had brought into her life. Next, we see Mary Magdalene at the crucifixion. Ooh, it's a bit blurry. Never mind. We read this in John, the book of John. Mary, Jesus' mother, was standing next to his cross, along with Mary's sister, another Mary, and Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was devoted to Jesus through his crucifixion. It's a beautiful thing when you stop and you ponder it. She stood with him. She didn't leave him. She was there. In all the crushing grief and pain she must have felt, she stayed with Jesus. One of the commentators I read said she was an icon of steadfast love. What a lovely phrase, an icon of steadfast love. She was devoted to Jesus in the hard and the painful times, as well as in all the good and exciting times that she'd had, seeing the miracles, seeing people healed, seeing everything he did. She stayed with him in the hard and the painful times. And it made me stop and question, how steadfast is my love for Jesus? Lord, it took me to prayer. Lord, let me be an icon of steadfast love for you. And you know, it's hard in the tough times, isn't it? Our temptation as people is to withdraw. It's kind of a self-preservation thing we have as humans. We withdraw. We withdraw from Jesus often. We withdraw from church. And it's interesting. It's Mother's Son, Mothering Sunday, and all these sorts of things. Last week, was the anniversary of the death of our first son. He died a week old. So Mothering Sunday is kind of bittersweet, as it is for many of you, I'm sure. I remember in the weeks after he died, I remember the Lord speaking to me about the choice I had. Was I going to withdraw in my pain, or was I going to stand next to Jesus? And it was so tempting every Sunday to not go, because it brought me face to face with my grief. It brought me face to face in the worship. Somehow that would open my heart. But I knew there was a choice. And I just felt Holy Spirit say, if you bow out now, Kerry, it will be so hard for you to carry on and get back in. Push on through. So literally in that pain, week after week, and I'm not exaggerating, we got up. There's a phrase, isn't it? Set your face like flint. And that's what we did. I gritted my teeth and I went to church. No part of me wanted to be there. I didn't want to come face to face with Jesus. I was in so much grief and pain I'd never known before. I cried every week. I cried from the minute I walked in the door to the minute I walked out the door. But I wanted to stand at the cross of Jesus. And I just encourage you. And you know, God took us through that time. And there came a time a year later where I stood and I cried and I knew it was the last time I would stand and I would cry with that grief in that way. And God took me through and released me. And it was a healing time. It didn't feel like it. But I want to encourage you to remember, if you're going through pain now or when we inevitably all go through difficult times, don't withdraw from Jesus. Don't withdraw from the places where you'll find him. Grit your teeth and keep on going. Because like Mary Magdalene, we need that devotion that says, I will stand next to my Jesus in the tough as well as in the good. Mary Magdalene was there at Jesus' burial. Oh, my pictures are dreadful, aren't they? They look really fine on my laptop, but they're all a bit... Oh, never mind. Luke 23 tells us this. The women who had been companions of Jesus from the beginning, that's Mary Magdalene, saw all this take place, watched the crucifixion, and they watched as the body was laid in the tomb. Matthew says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained standing there in front of the tomb. You know, the traditional Holy Week stories tell and retell the story of Peter, the disciple, denying Jesus three times. That's kind of what we're focused on. We know that story. He denied him three times. And the steady, unwavering witness of Mary Magdalene is completely overlooked. All four Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, insist that when all the other disciples are fleeing, Mary Magdalene stands firm. She doesn't run. She doesn't betray Jesus. She doesn't lie about her commitment. What if at Easter time, instead of emphasizing how Jesus died alone and rejected, we actually emphasized the truth that one person stood by him and did not leave? Interesting, isn't it? And there again, we see Mary Magdalene's devotion to Jesus, her loyalty. Even when it seemed hopeless, she stayed with him. Even when it seemed hopeless. How many things in our lives seem hopeless? She still stayed with him. Will we be people of unwavering devotion to Jesus? The story goes on in Luke. Afterward, they returned home and the women prepared fragrant spices and ointments and were planning to anoint Jesus' body with them after the Sabbath was completed. Mary was devoted to caring for Jesus in life and in death. She was devoted to Jesus' body. Now, this might be a bit left field for you, but Holy Spirit really spoke to me. What is the body of Christ now? We are the body of Christ. Mary was devoted to caring for the body of Christ. Our challenge, will we be devoted to the body of Christ today? This church that he's left, these people, we are his body now. Will we follow Mary's example of devoting our time, our money, our courage, our endurance, our hope, our obedience to the people of God, the body of Christ? Will we do that for our brothers and sisters in our church family? Will we honour the body of Christ as an organisation? Will we take River Church? Will we honour River Church? Will we speak well of it? Will we pray for it? Will we be devoted to it? Our church is the body of Christ in this place. What higher calling than to minister to the body of Jesus, which is what Mary did. Out of love, care, loyalty, and enthusiasm. Devotion. And then finally we come to John 20. And this is where there's the longest passage about Mary Magdalene as she meets with Jesus. The next one. I'm going to miss a little bit out in the middle, but I'm going to start at verse 1. Very early on Sunday morning, before sunrise, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. And when she arrived, she discovered that the stone that sealed the entrance to the tomb had been moved away. So she went running as fast as she could go to tell Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved. She told them, "They've taken the Lord's body from the tomb, and we don't know where he is." There's a part then about Peter that I'm just going to miss out. They go, and then Mary arrives back at the tomb, broken and sobbing. She stooped to peer inside, and through her tears, she saw two angels in dazzling white robes sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the feet. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" they asked. Mary answered, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have taken him." Next slide, please. Then she turned around to leave, and there was Jesus standing in front of her, but she didn't realize it was him. He said to her, "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Mary answered, thinking he was only the gardener, "Sir, if you've taken his body away somewhere else, tell me and I'll go and..." "Mary," Jesus interrupted her. Turning to face him, she said, "My teacher." Next slide, please. Jesus cautioned her, "Mary, don't hold on to me now, for I have not yet ascended to my God, my Father. And he's not only my Father and God, but now he's your Father and your God. Now go to your brothers, my brothers, and tell him what I've said to you, that I am ascending to my Father and your father to my God and your God. Then Mary Magdalene left to inform the disciples of her encounter with Jesus. I have seen the Lord, she told them, and she gave them his message. Mary, the woman, the demon-possessed person, she's given the honour of being the first one to see the resurrected Jesus, the first to speak with him, and the one to whom this new, incredible, life-changing news is entrusted. God is now your father, not just Jesus' father. The whole relationship has changed because Jesus died to take everything out of the way that blocked that relationship. God is now our father. What a seismic change went on, and Mary is the one entrusted with that news. Jesus could have appeared after his resurrection and brought that message in any way he wanted to. If you think about it, I could think of a lot more flashy ways of bringing that message. It was a pretty big deal, and I could think of some bells and whistles and lights and banners and presentations and people and bands and everything to bring that news. But he chose to do it through Mary Magdalene. And I prayed and I said, God, why? Why did you choose Mary Magdalene? And I just felt Holy Spirit say to me, it's because she was devoted. It's because of her devotion. She was devoted to Jesus in faithfulness, in sacrifice, in trust, and in obedience. And I believe that it was that devotion that was the gateway to her new calling and to her place in God's story. The honor of being the one who Jesus chose to reveal himself to talk with, and to call into a new role as the apostle to the apostles. And you know, I believe that our devotion to Jesus is the gateway to us being the people who Jesus reveals himself to in increasing intimacy and presence. Our devotion is the gateway to be the ones he talks with and shares his heart with, the ones who he calls into deeper and fuller and greater ministry in his kingdom. So I just felt like Holy Spirit said, guys, let's get healed. Let's get transformed. Let's get set free of our past. Let's live faithful lives following him. Lives that are full of love, loyalty, care, and enthusiasm. Lives full of devotion. Lives that love, honour, care for and serve his body today here on the earth. We will see amazing things. Mary Magdalene did see amazing things as a result of her devotion. When Jesus rose from the dead, everything was different. He says, is it there? No. Nope. Yes. Don't hold on to me. Don't hold on to me, he says to Mary. Let go of the old. Be ready to embrace the new. And we're in a prophetic season where the prophetic community is saying to us, new, it's a new season. New means new. Things are going to look different. Jesus did look different. Mary didn't even recognize him when she first saw him. What we know of God and what we see him doing is going to be so different to what we have known before. Don't hold on to the old and mourn for its passing. And just as I finish, I felt the Lord wanted to say this to you in Slough. He sees that you are people of devotion at the heart. He's seen your devotion to Jesus and to this body here. He's seen your faithfulness. He's seen your love. He's seen your loyalty. He's seen your care towards him and one another. And Holy Spirit says to you, keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. You are going to see the new. Your devotion is paving the way for you to enter the new things that God has for you in this season. But remember, the new is not going to look like the old. And you need to be ready to let go of some of your past frameworks and ways of thinking that are going to restrict you. He's doing a new thing. It isn't going to look like Bethel, Ian. Really felt Holy Spirit say that. It's not going to look like Bethel. It's a new thing. And you need to remember that nothing in your past, nothing in your past as individuals, nothing in your past as a church, you know, you might feel this is how we've been up to here, nothing in your past, none of your limitations is going to restrict you. Nothing is going to hinder your calling God or reduce your significance in the kingdom. We are all called to be history makers, to partner with Jesus in bringing in the kingdom of God. So let's be devoted. Let's stir one another up, encourage one another into devotion. Just like Mary Magdalene, what an amazing example of devotion to Jesus.